Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
This week on Ours to Protect, I'm cautiously dipping my toe in the water on a subject that could probably fill a full week of airtime. A more sustainable Christmas. I'll admit now that I'm only going to be able to skim the surface in the time that we have today. So instead of any complicated science, like trying to come to grips with the complexity of things like the amount of carbon consumed in creating Christmas packaging for our favourite goodies, or the impact of microplastics produced by glitter, this morning I'm asking you just to think twice about some basics. Regardless of your attitude towards Christmas, I think that three topics are universal around this time of year: decorations, food, and presents. So I've simply asked a few environmentally minded people for their top tips. To start us off, here are some useful and thoughtful suggestions from Joan Swift of Sligo Cycling Campaign.
For the past few years, I've been trying to be more sustainable in the sense of present buying, you know, to try to avoid tat, if you like, and to get things that people will value, possibly an experience rather than necessarily another object that they have to find space for. When I've been buying decorations over the past few years, I've tried to get them locally, maybe from a charity shop or a local craft, and to have them from sustainable materials. And food-wise, then, yes, we would try to be, sustainable and to avoid waste and so forth.
I also spoke to Connie Nell at the community workshop on the Cranmore Road, where all have been busily crafting sustainable decorations over the past few days.
I saw some lovely decorations, oranges and lemons cut and dried and hung up. It's lovely, and we've done it here before as well, but I was thinking, that's not even as sustainable as some other stuff. Felt is a really lovely material for Christmassy decorations, for bunting that says Happy Christmas we've made, or even like flowers cut out of felt. And what our craft tutor, she's brilliant, she's brought in all this felt material, and I thought, oh my god, there's loads, this is brilliant, this must be very expensive. But it was actually old jumpers that she washed very, very hot in a very hot wash, and it just became felt. I'm sure if you look that up, put it into your search engine, make felt from jumper or whatever. And you can then, cut it into whatever shapes you want. But I guess the main thing for me is that we use up a lot of stuff that's there already. Here at work, but also at home, everyone, I'm sure, has a box or two or 27 full of Christmas decorations already. And they might be plasticky, and they might be something that you wouldn't buy nowadays, but you have them already. So what's the point of not putting them up? So I suppose it's around creating things and being creative with materials that are there already. But it's also about thinking, do we actually need to make something new? Do we buy stuff, or do we just get on with what we have already?
Well, I think it probably is the case that we could all take a pause before buying more decorations, no matter how fabulous they look in the shops. Perhaps coming up with a few creative ways to use or improve what we already have, even if they're not perfect, would be just as satisfying. When it comes to the food shopping, less is also more.
Maybe you don't need everything that's usually there on a Christmassy table. Maybe you just go with what you know people are going to eat and have, and not produce as much food waste as might be the norm actually at the moment. And I suppose too much of everything, things that they're maybe just buying because it's a tradition but nobody actually likes it. Like, it could be a really nice idea as well to look into other cultures and what they eat around this time of year. And I guess, I'd be always rooting for organic things as well, but I know there's a strain on everyone's wallets at the moment as well. So
yeah,
because Christmas is special, and a special meal without meat is just not something they can imagine. Even I should just take one day and make it a vegetarian day maybe or whatever. I'm not saying that's going to save the world.
Over Christmas, people might be at home a little bit more, so they might have time to investigate a vegetarian recipe.
Yeah. Even if you don't follow through with any of it, but just to even have the conversation within the family could be a first step to talk about those things. For me personally, I guess food waste would be the biggest one. You know, I know everyone probably knows turkey sandwiches or whatever, but even like, do you know, anything that's left over, try and use it over the next few days. If you have a big freezer, use that as well, you know, and it doesn't have to be you know, the next morning that you have your sandwich with butter, which whatever you had the night before. But like, you get loads of ideas around Christmas, stop food waste, and there's a lot of websites, and even if you just put into your search engine, you know, Christmas food waste, or you'll get loads of information.
Strandhill's Tim Doran also advises a bit of perspective. His own family Christmas has a practical bent, but the celebrations aren't any less festive as a result. It just means fewer headaches with unwanted leftovers and not having to struggle home under the weight of a pile of white elephant gifts.
We always do Secret Santa in our family, and we've done that for like 7 or 8 years. So both my family and my wife's family, you just get one adult and you only buy gifts up to €50 for that one adult, and that's it. So that's Christmas. We try and get as many of the gifts from like charity shops, or like reused or pre-loved as well. You sort of get bonus points if you can do that. We have ourselves an air fryer, so it, you know, it's easier to use than the oven, but more so whenever we're cooking Christmas dinner. We're doing an early one this coming weekend with our family, so 2 weeks before real Christmas. We're going to try and just cook enough food for everyone on that day with a little bit of leftover, so we're not feeding the 5,000. There's 8 of us there, and we're going to imagine that there are only 8 people there instead of a million. So just trying to cut down on food waste and not throwing all of our food and money into the bin, but actually eating it and not buying too much in the first place.
Now, food waste was a common concern for each of our contributors today. And as you might have heard last week, this is also an area of interest for researchers at ATU Sligo. A few people have been in touch in relation to the tasting focus groups that Shelley Fox and Maria Dermicki will be holding in the new year. So I'm just reminding you that the email address is Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y .fox@research.atu.ie. Shelley would be delighted to hear from any of you that might be interested in giving your feedback on the new food products that they're developing to minimise food waste. I'll have to admit that I was lucky enough to sample a few banana muffins last week, and they were just gorgeous. Next week, I'm going to continue with Christmas theme and take a look at one of the most environmentally friendly gifts you could give to any child this Christmas, a bicycle. In the meantime, if cycling is something that you're interested in, Sligo Cycling Campaign are keen that you share your views on cycling infrastructure in Sligo through the county's draft development plan. You can appeal for cycling to be prioritised by sending a few lines yourself to the council by email or through their consultation portal www.consult/sligococo.ie. Or you can add your weight to that of the Sligo Cycling Campaign submission through sligocycles@gmail.com. The deadline for engaging with the draft is the 21st of September, and we're going to discuss this a bit more when we talk about bicycles next week.